Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
Pleasure to have you with us as it's a busy day. A lot of announcements from the president, a lot of announcements today regarding prescription drug prices. We will get into all of it with you this afternoon. So first, I want to welcome back. Actually, welcome you back to the show, but welcome first time joining us on the show. Always love having the Heritage Foundation guests on. They provide the best people, most knowledgeable. And we'll bring that up for you in just a moment. We'll bring on a gentleman who is a 26-year Navy career with exceptional tours, and that's what we're going to talk about in a moment. In the meantime, I want to remind you, you know, Jack Chiarelli was just on with Martha McCallum. There's no doubt in my mind that this race is going to be everything. So join us on October 10th for our big rally that we're having with Jack, okay? October 10th at the North Wildwood Pier. And I want to see you there. Just go to capegop.com to register. So I want to welcome to the show Brent Sadler, Senior Research Fellow for Naval Warfare and Advanced Technology in the Allison Center for National Security at the Heritage Foundation. Brent Sadler joined the Heritage Foundation after a 26-year Navy career with numerous operational tours on nuclear-powered submarines, personal staff serving for the Senior Defense Department leaders, and as a military diplomat in Asia. He is on X at Brent D. Sadler. You are also a 1994 graduate of the United States Naval Academy with honors, which is nice to know that you were not. I assumed you walked with your class in 1994 at the Naval Academy?
Yes, I did.
Okay. All right. Well, I won't ask you to comment on anyone who didn't, who might be running for governor of New Jersey, but certainly if you want to, you're more than welcome to.
Yeah.
I'll just throw it out there for you.
Okay.
Thank you for your service, first of all. We appreciate it very, very much. And what did you think today of the Secretary of War's approach? And give us a little context of who was in the room. You know, there's a lot of talk about the president was calling all these generals and admirals, but who was really in the room today?
Yeah, so you had 1 to 4 stars from all of the Department of War, so Army, Air Force, to include Space Force, Navy, Marine Corps, even the Coast Guard. Coast Guard was in there too, because in case of war, they're a part. They become part of the Department of War and support the naval mission for the nation. So that was who was in the room. Apparently, there was media. That was interesting that it was televised in its completeness. There may have been other discussions that occurred, and I would imagine they did at a classified kind of setting, with given the fact that you've got all of these folks together. But it's really a two-part kind of answer. You had the Secretary of War, Hegseth, talk at front about standards. This is definitely why he is the Secretary of War, executing the president's interest on this issue, and also the morale of the department as well, of all the soldiers, sailor, and airmen. And then the president came in, and there were some moments in there. It was very clear he was very proud of what was done against Iran's nuclear program. And he talked a lot about the stealth bombers, but he didn't mention it, but Navy was involved too.
Navy was involved too. Okay, good. Good. Yeah. Good to know. Can you tell us how?
Yeah, there was an SSGN, a big submarine that was in the Indian Ocean that launched Tomahawk cruise missiles that, you know, before the bombers, or just as the bombers were coming in, that were involved in hitting a couple of the sites and taking out the perhaps some of their defenses as well.
Well, that's excellent. That's great to hear. As far as the idea of bringing all of these 1 to 4 star generals from all the various branches of the Department of War together, has this ever happened before that you can remember, Brent?
No, nothing like this scale. It's in one respect, it's amazing that it hasn't happened before. But it, again, it is a significant occasion when you do it. Now, the services do have, like, all their admirals or their generals will get together. Like, the Navy used to call all flag officers conference. And it's done very deliberatively. And it's a way for the Secretary of the Navy, but also the Chief of Naval Operations, to engage with his or her senior leadership, make sure that they stay on the corporate message, stay on the national security policy direction, so to speak.
And I think that the morale factor is a huge part of this, because we've heard for years there was, particularly after the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, there was a real morale issue. And that's something the president mentioned today. The secretary mentioned that as well. Do you have a sense that morale has definitely improved?
I think so. I mean, and no clear metric is the recruitment numbers. The last administration took a very identity kind of individualistic approach, and it was completely ignorant of what actually motivates people to serve something greater than themselves. It's not their personal identity. It's their patriotism and service to the nation and to their partners next to them that they have to fight a war with. And so it was a complete misjudgment. As soon as the last administration started course correcting, you saw some very tenuous movement in a positive direction. But then when President Trump came in and he named Secretary Hegseth, who was really articulate and very hammering the point home about lethality, 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 and a meritocracy, it resonated with everybody, not just one demographic. It was across the board, because the people that you attract to service, doesn't matter what color or religious background, the people that want to serve share this common trait of dedication to more than themselves and to the nation. So it's good to hear, see, and the results speak for themselves. Recruitment is through the roof.
And the president mentioned that today as well. He said our recruitment numbers have never been better. Brent Sadler is with us, National Research Fellow for Naval Warfare and Advanced Technology in the Allison Center for National Security at the Heritage Foundation. It's great to have him after his 26-year career with the Navy and graduating with honors from the United States Naval Academy. Now, as we think about this idea of troop readiness, and I'll say troop sort of broadly here, but military readiness. And he mentioned that. He said, you know, we're going to have physical fitness exams. My favorite line was when he said, I don't want to see any fat generals. I don't want to see any fat generals at the Pentagon. I don't know how many fat generals there are. And the fact that you could even say that nowadays is just refreshing, because in the past, you know, you had to be politically correct about that. But does this mean that Ozempic orders are going to surge the Pentagon? Is it really an issue?
I can't speak to the Ozempic or any of the other knockoff brands that might. I don't think they'd be covered by the military medicine, because the best medicines actually go run for about 3 miles, 4 miles, three times a week to get that fat off. Right. So, yeah, it's a back to basics, quite frankly. It's also the corporate image, in language that most people understand. The corporate image for your military, one in which you respect and that can be feared by our enemy, is one that looks the part, and that's important. And being overweight and obese is certainly not looking the part, no matter what service you're in. So I think it's a good change. It's necessary, certainly, as we have the potential with the Chinese looking to be ready for a war in the next couple of years.
You say that the Chinese looking to be ready for a war. It's a feeling that I have as well. It's a feeling I've talked to your colleague Dr. Victoria Coates about it on several occasions. We just co-authored a piece together at FoxNews.com about how in Philadelphia they're going to be flying the Chinese flag, the CCP flag at Philadelphia City Hall. It's disgraceful. What is China's end game in all this?
It's a couple things. One is they want to distract us and weaken our own governance and our society so that we're more distracted here at home to pay attention to what they're doing overseas. And when we wake up, it'll be too late to change. And our economy would have been shrunk. Our prosperity and continued prosperity in question and our Republican form of government and democracy will have been so eroded that we will have forgotten who we are. That's what they want. And they've been working at it insidiously for years. Decades, quite frankly. And we know this from the Tiananmen papers that were leaked back in the late 90s after their massacre of, you know, thousands of the protesters in 1989. So this is a communist kind of approach to things, and it's to try to basically make us weak from inside. And what they really want in the region is they want more than just an Asia Pacific or the Indo-Pacific. They want to be the ones that are calling the global standards or setting the global standards, determining the terms of trade all over the world for China's benefit, and actually being the leader in national security and defense matters so that their writ becomes law wherever they choose to apply it, whenever they choose to apply it. They don't want to have colonies all over the world, right, but they definitely want to have their diktat to be the one that determines.
In terms of naval readiness, and the president mentioned this about our submarines are way more advanced than theirs. I know that there is this axis with Australia and New Zealand, right, where we've got this, to maintain control there. China obviously wants to have total domination of the South China Sea. This has been one of those things where every now and then you hear a story about they encroach upon our ships. How and you obviously there are certain things I know you can't say, but you know, to the best extent that you can, how advanced are we in the area of naval warfare?
Well, in the submarine world, we still are the apex predator at sea, still to be feared. But again, we don't have enough submarines. We have 47. We need to have 66. So that's the deficit that we did to ourselves because we took a 5-6 year building holiday back in the late 1999 to 2004-5 timeframe, and we're still suffering from that. And that's just that's the best of our industrial base for the Navy. It's worse for frigates and destroyers. There's a lot of talk there. We're supposed to have 12 aircraft carriers. We have 11. We're probably going to go down to 10 for a little while. So it's not looking good on numbers, though we do have some very highly competent crews, systems that have been battle-tested, designs that are known to survive warfare. But it doesn't matter if you don't have the numbers to contend with the adversary that you're worried about, in this case, the Chinese. And they're upwards of almost 400 warships. They're all modern. Numbers do matter. As Stalin said, quantity does have a quality all of its own. And we're on the losing end of that ledger, unfortunately.
And so has that become priority number one, is building and constructing?
It's not an either or. We're in an and world because there's not just one thing that we have to do. We have to do all. So yeah, we need to build more ships and we need to build out our capacity, because if we get into a war, again, it's the Chinese that the initiative's the ball's in their part side of the field right now. So if they decide it's go time, we have to be ready to spin up our industry. So we need to grow the industrial base. Philadelphia Shipyard, front line of this battle right now. The other thing that we need to do is we need to start getting firepower out to sea. And we need to get it out there in a way that actually causes the Chinese to delay, to rethink their ability to win in a fight. This is where unmanned ships, where you can produce them fairly quickly and get them out there to sea within a year and get like a fairly good number of them carrying weapons that cause the Chinese to doubt their ability to persevere. And of course, it'll take a little bit longer, but we need to start really investing in our people and making sure that they're trained for the type of fighting that they're going to have to be executing. And we got a little taste of that with the Houthis in the Red Sea, but that's like the junior varsity compared to the professional leagues that we'd have to be performing at in the Western Pacific against the Chinese.
Well, I appreciate your time today, Brent. I really do. And before I let you go, I guess the next question I'll ask you regarding this kind of readiness is the Iron Dome the president's talked about, or the Golden Dome that he's talked about, and how important that is, and how likely we are to see that within the next several years, and why that's so critical to maintaining our security. I mean, obviously, I understand this idea of, you know, being able to shoot down missiles. No question about it. That makes a lot of sense. But is there more to it than that?
Yeah, there's a lot of work that needs to be done on it. It's another one that you know, kind of came up and surprised us, and it should not have. The Chinese have tripled the size of their ICBM arsenal. They are on a trajectory to have a parity with us in nuclear weapons capacity and numbers of warheads and everything else. And so now we're going to have a Russia that has more than we do, and then we have a potential China that has as much, if not more, than we do. Are we still able to be a viable deterrent to their nuclear blackmail and aggression? Well, we're going to have to build more missiles. We're going to have to go back and really dig deep to bring back the ability to make warheads, which we haven't done since really even in the 80s. And we have to get some defenses that makes it less likely that the adversaries think that what they have will get through. And this is where the Golden Dome comes into play. The good thing about it is this was the vision that Reagan laid out. We've been working for all those years. A lot of the technologies are there. They just need to be scaled up and put into place. And this is not laser beams in space necessarily.
I'm reminded of that era of the, you know, the people who would mock it as Star Wars. But I mean, in some ways, we are dealing with this concept of, you know, what the future holds in terms of launches from space. I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility. It's something that we've read about. We understand. We have to be fully prepared for that as well. No question. So I think having a space force is a good idea. I don't think a lot of Americans, I said that was the last question, but I guess this is really the last question. I guess a lot of Americans may not really understand the Space Force. It's not necessarily to battle extraterrestrial life, although, you know, it'd be helpful if they do show up. But the real epicenter of the Space Force under this Secretary of War, under this president, is what?
So the genesis of it was the concern over our communications and our satellites and the advanced weapons the Chinese and the Russians were willing to put up into space. So the first thing was to pace that threat and make sure that we always maintain the high ground. But there's been an escalation. It's not going to stop at just monitoring or defending. You kind of hinted at or mentioned the potential of launching weapons from space to the ground. Now, there's treaties to prevent that, but treaties are a piece of paper.
Sure.
So the best defense in this case is a good offense. So we also have to have the ability, the capability to be able to defend our space assets at the same time. So Space Force is communications, it's defense and active defense, mind you, and perhaps even the offense to be able to go out and to take out the other guy's weapons in space before they can be used.
Well, it was an honor to talk to you. You have so much knowledge. I hope you come back on the show and share it with us again in the future, Brent. You'll be our go-to guy, if that's all right with you. Brent Sadler, Heritage Foundation, and please follow him on X at Brent D. Sadler. I'm grateful for your time today, grateful for your service to our country, and thanks for joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.
All right, what we're going to do is we are going to take a very quick break, come right back. The president is signing an executive order on childhood cancer research. It's been a busy day for the president today, from the war to pharmaceuticals to now this executive order. So we're going to take a very quick break. We'll come right back and we'll jump into that. So I'll tell you the big story of the hour, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, Venaria Dental, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. Dr. Mike is your guy. He's going to give you the smile of your dreams. So make sure you go see him today for that beautiful, beautiful smile. Coming right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
All right, so it's been a busy day, crazy, crazy day. The president addressing the military, then a big announcement on pharmaceuticals. Now they're talking about pediatric cancer. And so in the White House right now, we're going to jump to it live in just a second. Linda McMahon is speaking. Jay Bhattacharya is there. Secretary Kennedy and a number of other people who've been affected by this issue. And the president's taking some questions. So let's jump in here.
If DOGE is already reducing the federal workforce, why is it necessary to link more federal jobs cut to a shutdown?
Well, the Democrats want to shut it down. So when you shut it down, you have to do layoffs. So we'd be laying off a lot of people that are going to be very affected. And the Democrats, they're going to be Democrats. As you know, no country can afford to pay for illegal immigration, health care for everybody that comes into the country. And that's what they're insisting. And obviously, I have an obligation to not accept that. That would affect everybody. You know, when I see what we're doing with AI and all the plants that are opening up in the country, $17 trillion is coming. And if you compare that to Biden, Biden had in 4 years, less than a trillion. We have $17 trillion, more than that. But I think it's going to be much more than that, David. By the end of this year, I think it's going to be far over that. It's a record. It's already a record in 8 months. It's a record by a lot. And so we're doing well as a country. So the last thing we want to do is shut it down. But a lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want. And they'd be Democrat things, but they want open borders. They want men playing in women's sports. They want transgender for everybody. They never stop. And they don't learn. We won an election in a landslide. They just don't learn. So we have no choice. I have to do that for the country. Yes.
You mentioned a deal with Harvard, Mr. President. What is that deal? Will they be paying the
administration? Well, we're in the process of getting very close, and Linda's finishing up the final details, and they'd be paying about $500 million, and they'll be operating trade schools. They're going to be teaching people how to do AI and lots of other things, engines, lots of things. You know, we need people in trades because I remember when I went to school, I had some people that weren't particularly good students, but they could take a motor or an engine apart, blindfolded, and put it back blindfolded. But they weren't too good at other things, and many of them ended up doing better than the people that were. So trade schools are very important, and we've lost trade schools. We used to have a lot of trade schools in this country. We don't have them anymore. We have tremendous plants opening, and we want to have people at top level for those plants, whether it's AI or whether it's automotive plants. You know, we have many automobile companies opening up plants in the United States. They're all coming back for two reasons, tariffs, and I think they like November 5th. You know, they liked the person that was chosen, and they're moving in from Canada. They're moving in from Mexico. They're coming in from all over the world. China is coming. They're all coming, and that way they avoid paying tariffs. So, you know, they're coming for that reason. So by opening up trade school, because we're going to need employees, we're going to need people with skill. And I think I can say, Linda, you feel the same way. By opening up trade school, this would be a giant trade school, series of trade schools. It would be run by Harvard. Now, this is something that we're close to finalizing. We haven't done it yet. But they put up $500 million. Interest and everything else would go to that account, meaning go to the trade school. And, you know, it's a big investment in trade school done by very smart people. And then their sins are forgiven. So we have a good chance of getting that close. Yeah, please.
Mr. President Trump, thank you. I've been looking at this chart that you shared us earlier, so it's pulled up those laws earlier. U.S. prices for franchise are 422% higher than comparable countries. You know, I'm young, maybe I'm inexperienced, but I think a lot of Americans are wondering, how did we even get here being one of the biggest buyers?
You got here by incompetent people sitting behind this desk. You had a lot of incompetent people. I did it, as you know, I started it in my first term. We rebuilt the military. We got the largest tax cuts in history. We did all these things, and we had the best economy in the history of our country during my first term. And by the way, this is blowing it away based on what we're seeing. But we got it by having people allow that to happen. As you know, I started the process, but then when COVID came, we focused on COVID, not on this. And I said, if I ever go back and do it again, I'm going to make this a primary thing, because other countries are paying a fraction of what we pay. for the same exact drug, same exact pharmaceutical, everything. And I said, no, that's not right. And the drug companies actually came along. You know, don't forget, they make 30, 40, 50 million a year, these people. They're very smart. And they had a lot of people convinced that, you know, that's the way it has to be. They talked about research and development. We had to pay. I said, well, why isn't Germany paying? Why aren't other countries paying? And they always had a good answer. But it got to a point where I didn't like the answer anymore. And I said, we have to do this. And we did. And the team that we have with Oz and Bobby and Chris and all of the people that we had working on it. And I must tell you, Marty's been a big, wherever you may be, Marty. But Marty's been a big factor. We have a great team. There's never been a medical team like this. And I said, let's go do it. And then I did, as I said, I would bug them every single day, every week, because I said, we have to have, I mean, why should we be paying 10 times what another country is paying? And that was just an excuse, you know, research and development. We do research and development. So now we're going to be paying whatever the lowest price is, we're going to be paying that price. So it's a great thing. But there won't be anything that can have the impact on Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, anything where you need pharmaceuticals, medicines. The numbers are going to come way down. Even Obamacare, which is terrible, it's not been good, as you know. It's a weak form of health care. But it'll be better because the medicine's going to come in at a very low price. Yes, please.
Yes, Mr. President. It seems like every time you assemble your MAHA team and your cabinet members behind you in regards to health issues, it just keeps getting powerful. And look at these young kids there,
yeah,
and the weight that is on the world right now that you can lift by what you're doing. I've often said Trump could cure cancer and people would still criticize him.
That's true.
It's true. What is your message to America that this potentially could bring us all together, get us on the same page and have unity? And I'd like to see if some of the kids or the parents have what it means to you to see President Trump get involved with this.
Well, we've made tremendous strides in cancer research, far more than anyone has done. And we have the greatest minds, the greatest people working on it. And childhood, you know, they call it childhood cancer. It's a very specific thing. And we really made a lot of progress. I think something that's going to allow us to make a lot of progress is the money we're saving on pharmaceuticals. We'll be saving 500, 600, 1,000%. Nobody's ever heard of that. I told the story, you were here before, that when I was in the previous administration, my first term, I was so proud of myself because I'm the first president in 28 years that cut drug prices from beginning to end. So they went down, I think it was 1/8% or 1/4%. And I was so proud of that, as I thought that was great. Now I'm cutting them 500%. And I will say this, politically speaking, the people understand. Otherwise, I wouldn't have won in a landslide. You know, I get 97% bad press and I won in a landslide, which tells you the press has no credibility. But I will say that what we've done has been a great tribute to the people that's standing behind me in different forms. Linda in education, different, but what she's doing in education, she's sending education back to the states. That's a big move. States like, you know, you go back to Indiana, Iowa, like, you know, I would say 40 states will be great. 45 will be, you know, the 5% of them will be pretty good. But and then you're going to have a Gavin Newsom and some other people that aren't going to do a good job. But, you know, we'll help them out. I want to help them out. And we're going to have safe cities again. We're going to be very safe. We're going to be going to Chicago pretty soon. Because a friend of mine, a great guy, the head of the Union Pacific, he said, sir, you have to save Chicago. It's going bad. It's going bad fast. And it's a great city. He's right. It's a great city. I know it very well. And we have to save Chicago. So we're going to Memphis, Tennessee right now. We've had a home run in D.C. You can walk out. Brian, you got mugged here a long time ago.
Yes, sir.
And the mugger must have felt some pain because you're a tough cookie.
Well, he had a gun. I wish I would have had
I know. Well, then. Yeah. If he had a gun, all you can do is say thank you very much. Yeah. No, but it's everybody here. I mean, you were here in the room when I said to the reporters, who got mugged in the last year? And like half of the people raised their hands. Now, if you said who got mugged over the last 60 days, nobody, nobody, no killing, no nothing. And the restaurants are booming. The town is booming. It's clean. You know, the National Guard actually went out and started cleaning all the crap out of the parks. The tents are knocked down. We had one that you said it was a blue tent, and you said it was a communist tent, right? See, we're going to have a communist mayor of New York, so, you know, let's see how that works out.
And I've gotten a lot of feedback on that. Everyone's very appreciative.
Yeah. You told me about a blue tent, and I said, it's not, I can't be there because we knocked them down. But this was a very highly sophisticated group of people that had permits and all the other thing. Well, their permit expired. We knocked it down. It took, what, 24 hours less, maybe?
Yes, sir.
So I appreciate you telling me that. No, we have a great thing going. The country is doing incredible. We are a hot country. The hottest. We're the hottest country in the world right now.
Do the parents of the kids have anything they like to say?
Yeah, that's a great question. Would you like to say something?
I would.
That's a good comment right there. That's the best comment you've made in a long time.
Mr. President, good evening. I'm Josh Armstrong. My name is Josh Armstrong. I'm from West Virginia, and I'm the father of this amazingly brave and resilient little six-year-old, Laurel. Laurel was diagnosed with leukemia when she was 2 years old, just before her third birthday. And we went on to watch as she spent months in the hospital fighting for her life, as she received blood transfusions and platelet transfusions, as she fought off one potentially fatal infection after another. We watched as her body swelled and became painful from steroids, and then as it became frail and weak from chemotherapy. And we watched and we wondered why there aren't better treatments available, and we wondered what might happen if she doesn't get the drugs she needs. We wondered, why isn't anybody doing more? And on behalf of myself and all the parents that have watched and wondered, we'd like to say that what you're doing today gives parents like me and children like Laurel the one thing that we most desperately need, and that's hope.
And Laurel's
hope
doing
that,
well.
And Laurel is, I'm happy to say Laurel's in remission today.
That's good. She looks so beautiful.
Thank you. She is beautiful.
You feeling good, Laurel?
That's for you.
She looks so great.
Because of this bill, doctors are going to be able to get better treatments faster to patients like Laurel. Because of you making children like her real children, not cases or statistics, but children like Laurel and all of these children here today, we have that hope, and we are so proud that you're standing with children with cancer and making it a national priority.
That's very nice.
Thank you, Mr. President.
We're with you all the way. How about you, back there, Dad?
Actually, I'd like my daughter to speak.
I like that much.
Apparently, would like to speak. She's
That's very
here.
Good. I'd like you to speak.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Carolyn Hendricks. When I was 4 years old, I was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma, a pediatric bone cancer. 11 years later, I'm now 16 years old, and I'm doing great. What you're doing today, Mr. President, means that kids like me will get better options and so much more hope for the future. This will help doctors use technology to find cures faster, match patients to trials more quickly, and give our families more control over our health. For kids, every day counts. This order shows that our lives matter enough to be first in line for innovation. On behalf of children and young adults with cancer, those still fighting and those in remission like me, and families who wish that they had more time together, thank you for making us a national priority. Mr. President, because of actions like this, kids like me have the chance to grow up, to chase our dreams, and to live full lives. And that is the greatest gift anyone could ever give.
Wow. That was so cool.
President, I'm speaking at the Oval Office right now on pediatric cancer, taking questions from the press as well.
You did a good job. You did us a big service, Father.
Yes, sir.
That's great. Where did you learn how to speak like that?
I've done lots of speeches for childhood cancer over the last few years, and I'm also in a theater program, so that
That's
helps
great.
A lot.
Well, good. That's a great job. Would anybody like to say something? Would you like to say something, honey?
Yes. I'm Eleni Myers, and I'm 9 years old, and I had a blood cancer called leukemia when I was only 2 years old. I had to get treated at 7 different hospitals across this country, and I had to have 2 bone marrow transplants, one from my dad and one from my mom, and I had to spend many days and the nights in the hospital getting pokies and yucky medicine, and me and my parents were very worried, and I had to go through those 7 different hospitals to find the best treatment that can make me better. And thank you, Mr. President, for making everything happen today so kids like me and Laurel, we can still be living today and speaking.
Wow. better than any of us have done. We're doing lousy. We're not doing so well today. They're doing so good. That was fantastic. Thank you. And you're feeling good now?
Yes.
Are you all better? You're pretty close, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I hear you're going to do good.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody like to say something? Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I've had a brain tumor since I was 4 months. Now I'm off brain. I'm off all medicines. I'm a cancer survivor. I've had a brain tumor since I was 4 months, and I'm doing great. I'm 15 now, and I'm going to 10.
And you're
going to
be a football player, offensive lineman. You look fantastic. How about somebody else? I love hearing this. I love hearing you talk, because you talk better than any of us, right, Jim?
Thank you, Mr. President.
Well, I want to thank you all for being here. Amazing.
We wouldn't miss this.
Thank you. But, you know, we're doing a lot for you, and you're all going to be better very soon. I don't think you're going to need any of the help that we're giving. It's going to be for the future. But I want to thank you for being with us, and I'm going to bring them back to a room. We have a room where we have lots of hats and things in the back, and would you like to go back, and we'll pick some nice presents?
Yes.
Okay, we'll get rid of the wonderful people of the media. Do you like the media? They're nice, right? They have good days, right? They do. Actually, they do. Thank you very much. That's beautiful. That's really good.
Thank you.
And thank you. We're not going to top that, so I want to just thank you all very much. Thank you.
Okay, that's the president speaking at the Oval Office. Busy day today. The president had a lot of events, and that one is an executive order that will boost childhood cancer research. He also took some questions on the government shutdown, which is looming as well. So we'll give you some details on that as the show goes on. And obviously, you know, when days like this happen today, where you've got just multiple events, we have a ton of audio. So we're going to share all that with you as time goes on. And I did want to play some audio from the guest that we had on earlier regarding the Secretary of War and the announcement on military readiness and the fact that we're going to become, you know, we want to be able to kick ass. I mean, that's just the bottom line. We need to be able to, and that's the best deterrent, is people know that they can't mess with us. So on that note, I did want to play some clips for you from the president and from the Secretary of War. We also got into the president's announcement on Pfizer, because you have the CEO of Pfizer there today as well. But before I do that, where does the government shutdown stand right now? If we could cue up cut number 7, the president was asked this question earlier regarding the government shutdown and the looming shutdowns. Actually, let's cue up cut number 6. I'm sorry, Sean, if we could. Cut number 6. This is, take a listen. Go ahead.
We could come up and through this whole thing, you know, because I don't know, we'll probably have a shutdown, because one of the things they want to do is they want to give incredible Medicare, the Cadillac Medicare, to illegal immigrants. And what that does is it keeps them coming into our country, and like they do in California. And no country can afford that. No country. And we have the border stopped up. We have it closed. We have nobody for 4 months. Zero people came in. That wasn't me. That's me by the authorities who happen to be liberally oriented. But just think of that. We have people offering health care to people all over the world that they can't afford to pay. And that's the Democrats. And what happens, what that does, is it brings people into the country because they want to come in for the health care. But no country can afford it. And they can't afford it. So we cannot allow them to charge tremendous amounts of money for health care for people that aren't even citizens. And in many cases, they come in from prisons, jails, and mental institutions. And we can't let that happen. So
And obviously, this was a position Democrats were against at one point. We played you that clip yesterday of Hillary Clinton saying that would never be the case. But Democrats have flip-flopped on everything, and they've gone extreme on all these issues, including this one. So now they're all in on that, too. So now we'll go into cut number 7. Nothing's inevitable, but I would say it's becoming likely that we may see a shutdown. Cut 7.
Nothing is inevitable, but I would say it's probably likely, because they want to give health care to illegal immigrants, which will destroy health care for everybody else in our country. And I didn't see them bend even a little bit when I said we can't do that.
That's becoming now the sticking point for Democrats, which is an extremist position, and it's nuts. And so if you ask, me who's going to get blamed for this. I think Democrats will, because I think the overwhelming majority of Americans would think that's an insane position to take, for the Democrats to take it, because at one point the Democrats were against that very position. And then lastly, on this point, they are shutting it down. That is the message here. They're shutting it down, and there might be consequences to that. Cut number eight.
They are shutting it down. We're not shutting it down. We don't want it to shut down because we have the greatest period of time ever. I told you, we have $17 trillion being invested. So the last person that wants it shut down is us. Now, with that being said, we can do things during the shutdown that are irreversible, that are bad for them and irreversible by them, like cutting vast numbers of people out, cutting things that they like, cutting programs that they like. And you know, all you all know Russell Vogt. He's become very popular recently because he can trim the budget to a level that you couldn't do any other way. So they're taking a risk by having a shutdown, because of the shutdown, we can do things medically and other ways, including benefits. We can cut large numbers of people out. We don't want to do that, but we don't want fraud, waste, and abuse. And, you know, we're cutting that. But they want to have illegal aliens come into our country and get massive health care at the cost to everybody else, and we don't have it. And that's I would say, the number one reason that they want to strike is to get illegal immigrants health care. And, you know, Gavin Newsom wants that, too, in California, and it's destroying California. We can't have that. We're not going to let it happen.
I'm not going to let it happen. Bottom line. All right. Tri-County Auto, my great friends over there at Tri-County Auto. So happy they sponsor the show. Our official car sponsor, with incredible deals right now on Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. And also Tri-County Toyota as well. Incredible specials, incredible financing, incredible lease opportunities for you. The deals have never been better. And this is the moment for you to go see them. They're easy to get to from wherever you are. And great people, too. I mean, I met the Kriegers who own Tri-County Auto. I met them through the Travis Manning Foundation. So as you think about the war and the warrior ethos, they stepped up to support our Travis Manning Foundation year after year after year. And then we became friends, went out to dinner, and now they sponsor the show. So that's huge. Now, I drive American. I drive a Jeep Wrangler, and I love it. And they've got amazing specials on Jeeps right now. And they also have amazing specials on Chrysler, Dodge, and Ram, too. So there's something special about driving American. And you also get to deduct the interest on that under the One Big Beautiful Bill off your taxes, which is great. So be supporting American jobs. And they're right off 422 in Limerick, and that's easy to get to from King of Prussia and Collegeville, Exton, and Mainline, and Jersey, and everywhere. It's worth going to see them to see their great specials. You can also go on their website, tricounty.com, and see all the great specials they have right now. Maybe you want to do a Grand Cherokee. It's a great family car, made in America. And, yeah, you'll have that pride of knowing that you supported Tri-County Auto and knowing that they support our veterans and stand with them. Like just recently, they donated a beautiful, beautiful white Jeep Wrangler to the Travis Manning Foundation to help our veterans. So as we talk about the military and the military readiness and the veterans and everything else, just know that Tri-County Auto stands with them year after year. They even named their dog Maverick. That's how much they love this country, because it's just a great, you know, it's a great name. Come on, you can't beat that for dog's name. Stop. Tri-County Auto Group, Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and Tri-County Toyota. And more Toyotas are made right here in the United States of America now. Toyota is announcing their big, improved investment in America so that they don't have to pay tariffs. They want to start building their cars, more and more of their cars here, which makes a lot of sense for them as well. Either way, you'll be in great hands. General Manager Jack, great guy, terrific. He came to our live broadcast we had in the Hub, got to know him, several of his team. They're all great people who are not going to pressure you. They'll go through the process with you, show you all the financing options and lease opportunities that are there. There's just never been a better time to drive in the fall at Tri-County Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram, and Tri-County Toyota. Look for the gigantic American flag between the two dealerships. You'll see that pride. Go in there and say thank you. Tricounty.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So we'll get some drug prices going down. That's the goal anyway. And we'll see if it works. And hopefully we will see if other pharmaceutical companies jump on board without having government mandates on prices, obviously, because that will not help us in the long term. But first, we got to get past this government shutdown. What's going to happen with that? And is Schumer the one responsible for all this? Well, the president says so. Absolutely. The president says yes. They are the ones behind this. It's going to be on them. And like all these things, it comes down to, well, what do the American people think? Will the American people agree that it is a Democrat shutdown? I think so. If the sticking point for them is health care for illegal immigrants, then you're damn right that they will absolutely blame them for this. No doubt about this. Let's play. Let's cue up cut number 9. This is Senate Majority Leader John Thune. Democrats are going to have to explain at midnight tonight. Now, first of all, I could care less if the government shuts down. I couldn't care less, whatever you prefer. And don't email me and tell me which one it is, because I couldn't care less, nor could I care less. But obviously, whenever these things occur, somebody's getting the blame. Here's Senator John Thune, cut 9.
It's a bill that's passed by the House, sitting here in the Senate, ready to be signed into law by the president. And so, no, it's up to the Senate Democrats. That's where we are. And if they decide to vote it down tonight, they're going to be the ones that have to explain at midnight tonight why the government is shut down. It's really pretty straightforward. And this is something, again, that's been routine around here for a long time, until all of a sudden the far left, as Senator Barrasso pointed out, hijacked the Democrat leadership here in the Senate, and they've decided to hijack the American people and hold them hostage to try and get a laundry list, a wish list, a Christmas list of their left-wing priorities attached, in their case, to a 4-week continuing resolution. Ours is 7 weeks, but they'll have the same leverage 7 weeks from now that they have today.
Well, you know what? A continuing resolution is the kind of thing that should make a conservatives upset, not Democrats. Because we want cuts, baby, cuts. All right, big 5 o'clock hour straight ahead with 30 minutes of nonstop talk. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.